Welcome back to another Friday episode. And you know, I like to call these 5-Tip Fridays, but the last couple Fridays, they've been 5-Signs Friday. So just know you're getting 5 of something, and the 5 you're getting today are 5 signs that your husband is not really putting in the work while keeping you in limbo during an unwanted separation. So let's go over some of those signs, shall we? Hello and welcome to another episode of the From Devastated to Divorced podcast. I'm Josie, your host and a separation survival specialist. Through my unique 5 chapters to surviving a separation methodology, I guide women who are grappling with the challenges of an unwanted separation. Together, we navigate the path from feeling devastated to confidently stepping into divorce. And today, we are talking 5 signs that your husband isn't really doing the work on bringing you two back together from a separation. So let's say that he has told you that he needs a break. He wants a separation. We talked about that on Tuesday's episode. On that episode, I talked more about what you should be doing while you're waiting for him, aka not really waiting for him. But today I want to talk about the signs that you might see in him that are showing you that he's not really trying to figure himself out. He's not really trying to get back to your relationship. He might just be trying to keep you in a holding pattern for as long as you'll let him. So let's talk about these 5 signs. Number 1, resentment towards reconciliation efforts. He expresses resentment or hostility towards your efforts to reconcile or work on the marriage, viewing them as a burden or an inconvenience. Now, sure, I get it. If it's like day 1 or day 2 of him telling you that he needs or wants a separation or needs a break, give him a little space. There is nothing wrong with that. And as hard as I know it can be, because you might have just been blindsided by his request, which, by the way, is chapter 2 of my 5 chapters to surviving a separation methodology. But anyway, so you might be in shock and you might not want to handle it correctly. You might want to ask a lot of questions. You have a lot of fear going on and you just can't be in your own head about it. But my recommendation is you don't have to be in your own head. Pull out a journal. Call a close friend, share your thoughts, your fears, your worries there, but give him a little space. It's not going to be the best time to have a conversation, and you're probably not going to get a lot out of it if he has just kind of told you this and you're coming at him completely emotionally, which makes sense because, of course, you're going to be emotional, but you're going to have to find a way to hold off on that. Now, that being said, if it's been, I honestly would say about a week and no conversation has been had, then I think you are well within your rights to say, hey, give me something. You know, what are you thinking? What are your plans? Where's your head at? How long do you think you need? You know, these sort of questions. And if he's already annoyed, don't ask me. Those are red flags. Why can't he give you some answers? If it's not that he just doesn't want to work on it, but truly needs some time, he should be able to communicate that to you fairly and without getting mad at you for asking, because this is your life too, and you have a right to know what's going on. Number 2, indifference towards counseling. He shows little interest in participating in couples counseling or therapy sessions, or he actually attends, but reluctantly without actively engaging in the process. I mean, if he even shows up, that's a little bit of a win already, because I have had many instances where people will share that their partner sometimes says that they will show up just to get the woman to shut up, but then they don't show up. Or they refuse to show up at all. So if you've got him there, that's something. But then you have to pay attention to what happens while he's there. Is he just doing it so that it shows that he's doing some effort, but he doesn't speak, he doesn't give his thoughts, he doesn't participate? How is that going to help you guys move forward together? He needs to be willing to participate. It's not just, cool, I showed up, be grateful. It's okay, but showing up is only half the battle. Now you need to actually talk about so we can work through these things with somebody that's going to help guide us. So keep that one in mind. Number three, refusal to compromise. He refuses to compromise or make sacrifices for the sake of the relationship, insisting on having things his way without considering your needs or desires. Now, in this instance, I think that this is a way to get them to turn you into the bad guy. If they are refusing to compromise, then they're hoping that you won't stand for it and that you say, no, I refuse to do this. And then they're like, oh, so basically you are ending this relationship, not me. You're making this decision, not me. And you know what? It's a coward's way out, but don't let that hold you back. If they are too chicken to stand up and say, you know what, I don't want this marriage anymore, I want it to be over, don't let that be a reason for you to keep hanging on. It's not a power struggle. It's not a, well, I'm not going to say it, and he's going to have to say it, and if he doesn't say it, then I won't say it. What does that do for you and your life moving forward? Are you really willing to just hang out in limbo just to make him say it or to prove a point? Because he might not want to say anything. And I mentioned this on Tuesday's episode. There's a woman that has been waiting 5 years. Do you want to wait 5 years just to see him say it first and then he never says it? Don't do that. It's okay. And from experience, my ex-husband asked for the separation. The divorce was something else. I was the one who started the divorce process. There were reasons why we took longer than normal, and I appreciate some of those reasons because some had to do with insurance, so I do appreciate that we stayed longer married even though we were not in a relationship for that. But when it was time for the divorce part, he was cool with just like, you know, I'm cool, we're cool. But no, I wanted to be officially divorced, and I filed, and I am proud that I am listed as the petitioner on the divorce papers, because it means that I took my life and my future in my own hands. Don't see that as a negative thing. Don't see that as a bad thing. See that as you empowering yourself to make decisions for your life. It's a great feeling, I promise you. Number four, prioritizing external distractions. He prioritizes external distractions such as work, hobbies, socializing with friends over investing time and effort into repairing the relationship. Well, I get that at the beginning, he's probably going to want to go see if the grass is greener on the other side. Of course, he went ahead and asked for the separation, so he's going to take full advantage of that. Of course, boundaries need to be set and clear. You want to go hang out with your friends? Cool. But there are still bills to be paid here. There is still money that needs to be coming in here. It's not like you get to just pretend like you're single. And of course, not to mention the boundary of we're still a married couple. You do not get to go out and sleep around just because we're separated. That is a clear sign that you're not really willing to put this marriage not first, but that you're not really trying to fix things, because the easiest way to not fix things is to get yourself emotionally invested in somebody else. So if they are more interested in going out, traveling, hanging out with their friends, joining new groups, doing new things, meeting new people, pay attention to that. I'm not saying it's always a sign that they're done for, but it almost always is. Number five, lack of empathy. He demonstrates a lack of empathy or compassion towards your feelings and experiences, showing little concern for how his actions impact you emotionally. I mean, if that's not a sign that he's checked out and that he doesn't care anymore, he's not worried about your well-being or how you're feeling or how you're struggling. He's not trying to make things easier for you, because this is an incredibly hard and painful process. And as the person, I know people don't like this term, but as the dumpy, it's even harder for you because you haven't had any time to really mentally prepare for this. But he has. So he needs to understand that you are still coming to grips with something that he's probably been working through in his head for weeks or months, unbeknownst to you, while he's still sleeping with you, while you're still cooking him meals. And so you need time to process. And he needs to understand that you are going to have bad days, bad moments. You might even lash out once or twice. If he doesn't even care about your feelings, if he doesn't care about your struggle, if he doesn't care that you are in pain and that what he's doing or not doing is hurting you, that's a pretty big sign that he has checked out and that he's not the person that you want anyway. Because if he can hurt you like that and then not even care, why do you want him? Okay, well, those were the top five. There are so many more. I could almost do another episode on this, but I had to pick the top five, and those are the ones that I picked. If you are living in limbo right now and you are seeing these signs, it is a sign for you to start taking control of your life. It's a sign for you to make sure that you're getting your ducks in order. You are making sure that you've got a financial plan, that you have a plan for yourself, your kids, if you have them, and your future, because depending on him may not go well for you. So I hope these helped you. And if you are struggling with being blindsided by his request for a separation and you're not sure how to move forward, I do have a course that is based on my five chapters of surviving a separation methodology. It is basically a roadmap to your future. It basically tells you where you're heading, where you might be stuck, and what you need to do to move forward. It's got a blend of insights, personal reflections, and actionable steps. You're going to discover how to reclaim your sense of self, build resilience, and open the door to your future. If you want more details, the link is in the show notes. Again, thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you on the next one. Bye for now. Thanks again for listening. And if you found value in today's episode, I would really appreciate it if you could go take a moment and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're streaming from. It would really help to get the word out and help us build this community. And as we wrap up today's Heart to Heart, I hope you find healing, feel your strength grow, and embrace your journey forward.